The Real Estate Unsuccess Stories podcast features people from the real estate community sharing real stories about their struggles, pains, and even losses during their own real estate journey. We share these real experiences so you can learn from them and build a successful journey of your own. Now, here's your host, Cody Lewis, one of the managing partners at Vindu Capital, located in Charleston, South Carolina.
Hey everyone, I'm so excited to have all of y'all back. I'm even more excited about our guest today, Mr. David Marisal of Mars Management. David, thanks for joining us today with your busy schedule. How are you, sir?
Thank God. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. Pleasure's all mine to have you on. I appreciate you jumping on and being able to share your story with us today. For those that maybe haven't connected with you or seen you in the community, would you mind just giving a quick background of where you're from, what kind of real estate you got started in, and what kind of real estate you're in these days?
Where am I from? I'm from Montreal, Canada. I've been in real estate for the last 11 years. I started right out of school, went straight into real estate. That was basically my first job. We started in multifamily, smaller multifamily, like, 7 to 10, 12, 15 units. It's been an interesting, fun journey. And now we're basically looking for value-add creative deals that most people are afraid to touch.
That's interesting. We've heard a lot of folks over the course of our podcast, and we always love the unique backgrounds, right? Everyone's got a different story of how they came to real estate. You may be one of the first that actually jumped straight into real estate right out of school. So that's really cool to see and hear. I think most folks find their way in it after going through a normal W-2 job and saying, hey, this is what I want to do with my life. There's got to be something else. So that's really awesome. But David, I would imagine with as much experience as you have and with everything that y'all have done, going from like the small to the large and now looking at some unique different properties and stuff like that to really kind of change the market, I would imagine it hasn't always been successful. And that's what we want to talk a little bit about today is I would imagine you probably have a story or two around things that didn't go according to plan or went wrong. If you wouldn't mind sharing with our audience today.
So a story that went wrong. So one of our deals we did. So first of all, I'm coming from the New York market. It was my first bounce into the real estate space. And I don't know if you're familiar with some of the people listening, but New York happens to be one of the most challenging markets in the country, just from a perspective of, rules and regulations, tenant protection groups and agencies. So after a certain period of time, we went to, shop in other markets. We bought a complex in New Jersey, thinking, we'll leave this crazy, rules and regulations city, and we'll try our hand in another area. We bought a 215 unit complex in New Jersey. At the time, there was some type of rules regarding raising rents and different protections for tenants, but there's a lot of assumptions went into play. We were like this question kept coming up, like, what are these, what are these rules and regulations? You almost have to know the local politics and ins and outs. A lot of the going into the purchase was, we spoke to the local players, a lot of local real estate owners and landlords, and their attitude was basically like, it's not enforced, don't worry about it. Once we closed on it, we started doing heavy lifting. We were going to raise the rents and do some real work. And I called one of my, I made friends right away quickly in the high places where we had to make friends. And I'm like, look, get me a meeting with the top gun in this agency that runs the, this rent control. And let's hash out exactly how to navigate these dirty waters. We sat for a few hours and like the person in charge, she was telling us, like, she's not pro this program. I'm like, one second, you're supposed to be enforcing this program that protects landlords from raising rents on tenants. And she's like, this destroys our city. And it was a real nightmare because there's no way to navigate when the waters are so dirty that the people in charge are. I said, look, if I was buying a four family and I had to, duck my head and keep running, it's worth the risk. But when you spend $16 million on a property and then you're like, okay, we have to invest a few million. Are we doing this on one foot? How do you navigate this? And we spent, probably a year and a half trying to, maybe even more, we started doing some renovations and heavy lifting, but I'm like, throughout the process, I'm like, this is very risky because in theory, at any time you end up with a tenant in court and the tenant could always raise this flag and say, look, you guys, you really messed me over here. So like, we were like really back and forth. We were really confused, like, and lost. I mean, thank God, time was our best indicator because as we've all seen in the last couple of years, the values just kept rising. And eventually we sold the property and moved on. But I mean, that was a real failure. from a business standpoint, like the business plan was we come in, we renovate, you know, 30-40% of the units. We, you know, we add value to the neighborhood, raise the value of the place. Really, you know, we had a big plan to fix up these buildings, and we were really stuck with our hands tied just because of the magnitude of the, you know, the renovation plan. So that was a real challenge.
Well, if you don't mind me asking, David, I mean, you mentioned, you know, you shifted from the New York market and how crazy that is and all the rules and regulations. And I've heard, and I'm sure others that are either there or have researched it have seen and heard, it is crazy. And there's a lot of things in place that maybe make it not a great place to invest. If you know it and you can deal with it, sure. But for most of us, probably not. But then you go to New Jersey. What was your research or thoughts on picking New Jersey? Talk to me. Was it more just so, hey, it's adjacent, it's in our backyard? Or was there another, what was kind of driving you to New Jersey over other markets, being that it sounds like you ran into some of those similar, but maybe on a smaller scale issue to New York? What led you to New Jersey?
So I give you a few things. First of all, I'm 1 foot, my policy always, or our policy always was, you know, you want to be within a quick drive to your properties, just because we know in this industry, so many things could go wrong. I think when you start off, like when, you know, you got 1-2 buildings, you'll say like, you know, 15 minute drive is okay. And then as you start growing, that circle gets bigger and bigger. So there were times that we were driving, I don't know, 45 minutes in New York to our property. So another 10 minutes wouldn't kill anybody. It was just one of those things of proximity. You want to be close to your properties. The New York challenges were known. So, I mean, if you got hit with violations or fines or different challenges that came up along the way, it was pretty clear. I mean, you're doing this a few years. I picked up, you know, how to challenge and navigate the waters. The challenge that we had in New Jersey was that it was unclear and unguided. As I said, the people in charge didn't really enforce or care about this program themselves. That's really where the challenge came up.
I gotcha. For when you're looking at something, so you, I would imagine, you know, you took what you learned from New Jersey. When you're looking at other markets, and ideally they're probably still drivable, maybe a little bit further now that y'all are a little bit more experienced. When you're looking at other markets, how does what you learned in New Jersey and going through there kind of dictate, or what do you look for when you're looking at these different markets now compared to what you did when you shifted to New Jersey then?
One thing I've learned is you can't, you know, you're not going to fight City Hall. You're not going to change the politics, and you stay. I personally would stay away from such industry, you know, not industries, but such cities. Like personally, I'm in Connecticut now, and if it's a very liberal city, I'll stay away from it just because the mentality and the attitude towards landlords are all landlords are rich, greedy slumlords, and the tenants are all poor and not being taken care of well. So that is very difficult to change. And that's something I've learned from New York and evidently New Jersey. There's a lot of my friends that did very well or are doing very well in New Jersey. It's just, for me, it's a place that I'd like to stay away from. That's something I've learned.
Yeah. And I think we hear that a lot is understanding what the local landscape looks like, the local laws. Are they tenant friendly? Are they operator friendly? And understanding, is that something that you're willing and wanting to play in? And it may be for some, like you said, sounds like you have some friends and folks that are doing really well in New Jersey and maybe some other areas. You have to determine, is that going to be the right thing for you and your organization? It may not be the best for everyone. For you, it's not. What kind of research, or if for those that are listening that are looking at markets, maybe in their backyard, maybe they are looking a little bit further out and they're less familiar with a particular market. What are the things, or who are the people that they need to go to field some of this research so that they can understand what that lay of the land looks like, so they can either step away from it or better yet, just determine, is that a good market for them to invest in? Who are the people, or what are the things that they need to look at?
It's very challenging because you have to know the right questions to ask. Sometimes, like yourself, if you're coming from, you know, South Carolina, you may not have any of these questions that are things to you. So you wouldn't know to ask them when you're going to another market. If you're starting from scratch, it's very difficult. Like, there's not a list of questions that I could give you now that you would say, okay, go get all these answers, because you probably wouldn't understand half the challenges that would come up in another type of market. I think it's something that you have to talk to some other local landlords, ask them what their challenges are. Almost every state and city, for that matter, has different court procedures to evict a tenant. I think that's a key indicator to tell you what type of place you're dealing with. Even though with all the negative issues we had in New Jersey, one thing they had there amazing that I haven't seen in any, I haven't been to a lot of places, but I haven't seen in other markets, was that if you took a tenant to court and the tenant had a list of, you know, a rap sheet against you, the judge would always say, look, do you have the money to pay? And if you do, put it in escrow now. And then once we hash this out, you know, we'll continue the case. We'll negotiate. But I haven't seen that in other places where the judge is like, look, you got to put up your money that you owe, and then we'll figure it out. And that's an amazing thing that I've seen in New Jersey. I think that's a good indicator. Like if you know, you go to the local courts, talk to some local people and ask them, just tell me A to Z, what's the procedure to evict, you know, a non-paying or any issue that you have with a tenant. That would give you a good indicator of what challenges you'd bump up in a market. You know, there's a few other issues, like they had some crazy tax things, like we were trying to get some type of credit or some type of tax abatement or something. And they were really like, we don't need your money. We don't want your, you know, we don't want you to come do any work in our town. We really don't need it. That was like their attitude. It was like, okay, we could go somewhere else that's grateful.
I would imagine there are those types of towns out there, maybe those types of folks. And it's unfortunate because I think at the end of the day, what you're trying to do is create a better living environment, you know, upfit some of the existing properties that maybe could use some TLC to make them even better homes for the folks that are living there, whether they're, you know, permanent or semi-permanent or whatever it may be. I mean, that's the goal that we're trying to do is upfit it. And you know, we make some money on the investment that we're doing to help increase the value of those places. So it's unfortunate that some folks maybe are against that sort of thing or see it negatively. I think what I'm hearing is that it's vitally important for you to understand all the inner workings, the laws, the tax implications, have a local lay of the land for every market that you're looking at or going to invest in. This is kind of an assumption on my part, but if you're doing pretty well, or if you're looking to go into another market, it might be even worth looking at some sort of joint venture or finding a partner that knows the market or is already operating in that market to help get your feet wet to learn about it and to help mitigate some of those risks that you probably could run into, being that you've never invested or gone into that market. What are your thoughts on that?
It depends really how hands-on you want to be. You know, sometimes you bring on a joint venture with someone else, but you're really, you know, you're the operator. Like, you know, it's very difficult to take that over in someone else's backyard. And another thing you could do is you could always reach out to a local landlord-tenant attorney and really just take them out for dinner and get a full crash course from them. That, you know, they may be a little negative. Like, our lawyers are usually like, you know, telling you worst case scenarios, but I think it gives you a good understanding.
Being married to a lawyer, I can honestly say they lean a little bit on the negative or what could happen side, whereas most of us that are entrepreneurs, we're thinking about what's possible, right? So yeah, it's a good balance of the pendulum, if you will, to kind of land in the middle. But David, I think that's fantastic. And I think that's a great place to maybe wrap up and put a bow. And for those that are looking at markets or new markets to invest in, I think this has been a great example of what people can learn and what they should expect going into those types of markets. So I can't honestly thank you enough for coming on and joining us today.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Yeah. For those that maybe want to connect with you, maybe they want to pick your brain, especially you have a lot of experience in the Northeast and in those markets. Where's the best place for folks to find you if they do want to reach out?
They can find me on LinkedIn. I'm on LinkedIn. I got David Marisol right on LinkedIn. I'm not so active. Like, I'm not posting every day, but I'm there.
Perfect. Perfect. And we'll drop that link in the show notes for everyone to quickly access and be able to reach out to David if you so choose and want to learn about his background, his experience, and even more so in the markets he works in. But David, again, thank you so much for joining us today. It was truly an honor and pleasure to have you on. I really appreciate it, sir.
Thank you. Have a great day.
Absolutely. Thanks, everyone. And we'll see you next time.
You've been listening to the Real Estate Unsuccess Stories podcast with Cody Lewis. Be sure to subscribe today on your favorite podcasting platform so you can catch every episode of the Real Estate Unsuccess Stories podcast.